Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm excited tonight for another awesome opportunity to share God's goodness and His grace. And those of you that are tuned in, and if this is your very first time, I welcome you with open arms. Thank you, thank you, thank you for dialing in. Our goal always each week is to share the gospel, to make sure that you are encouraged, to make sure that you are educated and that you are empowered. We do the encouraging because every time you hear the word of God, every time you have an opportunity to hear anything for that matter. It's encouraging, but praise God, because you're still here. And so that because we are here and because we hear the word of God, we always want to make sure that we have an encouraging word. And for those of you, praise God, that listen each week, I'm grateful that you tune in. But more importantly, all of us want to be educated in some form or fashion. It may not be topics that are brand new, but they're definitely ones that will give us inspiration to study a little bit more for ourselves so that we'll have a better understanding. And so that's why I say educate. And then once you have found out what God has for you and the lesson and what he wants for you to study and glean and gain from, then we want you to be empowered to make those necessary changes if need be, or empower yourself to make those changes. And once you have done that and seen how good and how awesome it is to follow and do what God has called you to do, be empowered to share it to someone else. So we want you to be encouraged, we want you to learn something, be educated, and we want you to be empowered. And so we're grateful on tonight that God has blessed us with an encouraging word. And so, like I said, I thank you for tuning in if this is your very first time. And for those of you, if you've been with me for the past, can you believe, going on 11 years, amen, I am excited and I'm grateful that God has placed you in my life to encourage me, to empower me, to help me stay focused, to educate and learn more so that I can be what God calls me to be. And so I thank you for keeping me focused and keeping me on the straight and narrow, if you will. And I thank you for your prayers and for your text messages and your comments. And so I will always be grateful for you. Now, I can't name you all by name, but I do try to make sure that I call out two names because they are important. And that would be Tammy and Jesse Store, because praise God, without them and the Mega Ministry Group, this would not have been an opportunity for me, at least at the time that it was offered to me. And so I'm grateful for them and that they continue to support me and push me and be examples. It's one thing when you have mentors that fall by the wayside, but nevertheless, they have always been inspiring and encouraging. We all have trials and tribulations, but even through their trials and tribulations, they remain focused and they remain on top and they continue to support and help people. So I will always, always call them by name and give them a recognition that they deserve, because praise God, we want to make sure that we all stay focused and do the things that God has called us to do. And so I'm always grateful for them. So to our Father, he's my Father, he's your Father. Whether you believe it or not, he's all of our fathers, and he wants us to keep him lifted. Amen. And so we always start the broadcast with an upbeat song. Whenever Jesus says yes, no one, absolutely no one, can say no. And when he says no, no one can say yes. Amen. But nevertheless, we are grateful, and we want to make sure that we do what is necessary, and that is to give him praise, to give him honor, and to give him glory. So we, like I said, get the particulars out of the way. We go into prayer, and then we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for life itself. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have a renewed life in you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to live in this system and to be able to thrive. And even when we have challenges, Father, we can find the good in it, Father, and move forward. And that is because of all the things that you have done for us, the things you're doing for us, and the things that you will do for us. And so, Father, we just don't want to thank you just for being awesome. We want to also thank you for the resources that you provide for us that helps us stay focused, that helps us move and navigate in this system. And we thank you first and foremost, Father, for the word, because it is a timely word. It is an on-time word. It is a living word. And it keeps us focused and keeps us doing what you've called us to do. And we thank you, Father, that you allow us to have it freely in our hands. Some people in some parts of the world, Father, are being arrested just for saying your name. But we thank you, Father, in this country, we can still say the name of Jesus. We can still shout hallelujah. We can read our Bibles. We can do what is necessary. And so we thank you, Father, for giving us instructions through your word to help us to be able to help others. But more importantly, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for allowing it to reside in us, that you left a piece of yourself so that we could have a part of you, that we can acknowledge who you are and feel your presence, and to know that we will be directed and guided even when we don't understand what your words are. The Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us and to navigate and to help us with understanding. And then, Father, we will be remiss if we can thank you for the most important resource, and that is the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed on our behalf, and that you allowed yourself to be beaten and to be harassed and ridiculed on our behalf to pay the price so that we can be and live with you eternally. So for that, Father, we can't help but say thank you. We thank you. We thank you for thank you, Father. We don't have the right words. We don't have the right accolades or anything to just measure up to what you've done for us. But we try, and that's why we say thank you. So, Father, we ask that you bless us in this hour to get the best understanding that we need so that we can run for you, Father, and do the things that you've called us to do. We thank you, Father, again, for allowing yourself to reside in me so I can share the word that you have me to share on tonight. Let it be your words, Father, and let me hide in the cross so that you can reign in this hour of power. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and we do acknowledge you as the vine and that will branch with us. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain. So we thank you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Dr. Happy, Dr. Leah Killings, whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. But I'm excited on tonight to be able to share the lesson tonight. And if we had to do a title, and I was trying to decide, well, what do we do? Because in October, we always try to make sure that we focus our lessons on the adversary and to make sure that we understand why it's necessary for us to know the adversary. How do we move forward unless we know who's putting the traps out for us? And once we understand what those traps are, then amen, we can navigate and get around them. Of course, we need Jesus always. But he gives us enough wisdom and enough understanding and revelation if we ask for it. And that's why his words is, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. And so we have to remain in him in order to get the answers that we want. And then when we do that, praise God, he provides it for us. And so you can see the minds that the enemy has laid at your feet. You can see the things that he's doing to try to corrupt our lives. But nevertheless, we want to make sure that we understand his M.O. so we can recognize it up front. But many times this system is designed for us to be afraid. And we can't be afraid because if you have Jesus, who else do you need? Amen. And so we want to make sure that we understand the adversary. And so I spent a month, since the end of the month, they tried to, the world system tries to glorify that aspect of him, or some do at least. And so we want to make sure that we have a better understanding. So, of course, God has blessed me to be able to have that as part of my new ministry. And so I want to make sure that we all have a better understanding that we're not spooked by talking about the adversary, or that we don't see him that way. No. Originally, I did. And so that's how it's easier for me to talk about it. Praise God, because I've been through it, got a bag of chips and a T-shirt to know what it means to be afraid. And I was fearful and I was scared to talk about, to say his name, to watch commercials on TV, to watch scary movies and anything that's surrounded around evil and dark. And I freaked out. And so it wasn't until I was delivered and really delivered and set free that I understood what the meaning of being free and free indeed. I was afraid of the dark until I was in my 40s, like literally petrified, because at a young age when I did give my life to Christ, I believe God had deposited a knowing, if you will, that I would have to face the enemy. And that scared me. And so the enemy used that and would remind me, the closer you get to God, the more I'm going to reveal myself. And so I was afraid. And I was afraid that he was going to show himself with these horns and with a pitchfork and, you know, just cruel and ugly like the media makes it seem like in the movies. And then, unfortunately, I watched too many of those types of movies. And so my vision and my understanding and my mental awareness was miskewed, because once I got to deliverance and realized, my mentor shared with me, why couldn't Denzel Washington? Now, granted, he ain't the finest, but, you know, everybody thinks he's cute. But nevertheless, why couldn't he be the face of the adversary? If he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, do you think he's going to come looking like himself? Or is he going to come to deceive and make you believe that he's the sweetest and the kindest? And absolutely. And so once my understanding was open, once I had a better understanding, then I realized I needed to understand who this Joker is, and so that when he steps to me, I would recognize. But more importantly, before I did all that, I had to make sure that I was on a firm foundation. And once I understood that I was on a firm foundation, even if he did show himself and showed himself in the images of what I had made myself believe he looked like, I still could stand toe-to-toe because I knew I was covered in the blood. And so my goal for you for the rest of the month is to give you tools that will help you understand that he is a defeated foe and that you do not have to be afraid, and that if you understand who you are and who made you and that you're made in the image of God, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that nothing can hurt you unless God allows it. And why would he want or desire anything to hurt you when he said that he came to give us life and have it abundantly? So, saints, amen. We're going to rock this month, amen, because we're going to step out and we're going to be slayers for the kingdom, amen. But nevertheless, the topic tonight, if it was given a topic, God laid on my heart, and it was kind of heavy on my heart, The Matrix. And so The Matrix is one of my favorite movies because it was a movie that really convinced me to step into my calling. And so a lot of people question why that movie. And it wasn't so much because of, you know, the symbolism that was part of the movie, although they had a lot of symbolism because they used different platforms of different religious cultures and things. But nevertheless, it was for me because I realized through all the symbolism that I had to die in my flesh to become the one, not necessarily the one to save the world, but just to become one with God. And once I died to my flesh, I had to make sure that I had to be unplugged from the Matrix. And so when we talk about the Matrix, I thought it was best, praise God, to give the analogy from the movie because some of us have watched the movie. And so we can make the analogy that I did that helped me become free. Not necessarily wanting you to watch the movie. I want you to more or less understand what God is trying to reveal to us. And so one of the things that I think was key or pivotal for me was that why do we exist? Because one of the things that was difficult for my brother in the movie to understand was that if we were connected to the system, then why do we believe so heavily that we're part of that system and that's the only system that exists? Well, one of the things I think we have to all recognize is that in the beginning to Earth and the world, Adam and Eve made a huge mistake. And it wasn't so much that everybody focuses on that they ate the fruit, because that wasn't really the biggest and the worst thing that they could have done in the garden. The worst thing that they could have done was that they listened to another voice instead of the voice that created them. And so once we understand that, then we can get a better grasp of why the system that we live in is kind of like a matrix. It's kind of like a matrix because it tells you how to think, how to feel, how to respond, how to act, how to live, how to walk, how to save, how to thrive, what to do, where to go, who to be with. And so we get caught up because we have these constant images that shows us this is what success looks like. This is what healthy looks like. This is what normal looks like. This is what weird looks like. This is what ugly looks like. When the word has none of those examples. The examples that we have, we don't believe for some reason until we get unplugged from the system. Well, many of us want to play on both sides, and it doesn't work that way. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. You have to learn how to be completely detached from this system, which I call the Matrix. The Matrix is designed for us to be warped, if you will, to believe that we are in control, that we have control of our lives, that we have control of where we go and what we do and what we say. And to some degree, this system is pretty successful because many of us do. We believe that we wake ourselves up or we set our alarm clocks and that wakes us up. Many of us believe that, you know, we're going to be CEOs or executives and all these things that this system makes us believe that you just push yourself, put one foot in front of the other. And many of us won't believe the word when the word says that we can be healed and set free. Why is that? Is it because we're spending a lot of time inside this system, the matrix I call, and not enough time unplugged into the word of God? I would love to be really completely
engaged into the things of God, the kingdom of God. And because in the kingdom of God, I learned how to yield and give everything to him. And so my mindset, my thought process, how I see things are completely different from most people, because I don't see things, or at least I try not to see things through the world system. I try to see things through the eyes of God. Now, I am in a lot of pain today, praise God. And my legs are swollen and my hands are swollen, but it wasn't going to prevent me from doing what God has called me to do. Why? Because I'm not part of that system that says, lay down, take your light, lay back. You don't have to do it. Just do a recording. Have somebody else do it. Have a guest on the show. You don't have to. The Lord says that his grace is sufficient and his mercy endures forever. And so if I do the assignment that he gives, he will give me the mercy. He'll give me new mercies. Amen. And so because of that, I can do what I'm called to do. And because of that, I believe in my heart, because I push for the mark of the high calling, that I don't suffer as much as I could. When I look around and I see that my family and friends are dying from simple things, simple things. And in the past 3 years, I've had a heart attack, a stroke, two strokes, matter of fact, and now there's in there half the side of my brain is not operating properly. I've had cancer, and God has delivered me from all of them. And so do I believe that I'm not going to complete the assignment that God has assigned to me? Absolutely not. But the enemy will make me want to believe that, because part of that system has encouraged me and made me believe that I had to take this pill and take this regimen that this doctor said that all were maybe not even sanctioned by the things of God. So I've taken quite a bit of medicines and things that has caused a lot of challenges for me without seeking God first. And that's why tonight I want to make sure that we understand and that we seek God for instruction. Many times we're so reliant on this system, this matrix, that we believe whatever it puts before us, before we even go to the Word, before we ask God. And God has to be, it says, even in what we learn in the Lord's Prayer, Father which art in heaven, hallowed be his name. But, amen, we skip that part. So if we, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do we not go to God first? If he's created most of us, even those that don't believe, believe there has to be a higher power that created everything. Because if they are just now figuring out how to clone chickens, and it's been how many centuries that scientists have been trying, nobody can recreate the sun. Nobody can recreate the moon. Or nobody can change or shift the wind. Or nobody can tell the sun when it's going to set and when it's not. So we have to believe that there is something much greater than us. But this system makes us believe we're in control. We control our own destinies. Saints, it's frightening if you really think about how far we've gotten away from God's plan. And because we've gotten away from God's plan, it's easier for us to do things that feel good versus the things that God has called us to. Sometimes there are challenges with following the things of God. But that's only because we're having opposition from the enemy, because he wants us to stay connected to him and not to the things of God. And so I have to kind of go back to the movie to kind of to make sure that my point gets across. But one of the things that I like I said, I liked about this movie, and there was four of them, and even the names of these movies were interesting to me, because, again, it's so many things in this system that tries to imitate the things of God. And one of the coolest things that I've learned is that a lie really is the truth, just twisted. And sometimes it's not twisted. I mean, it's twisted just a little bit, but enough that it's not the truth. And so we believe what we see because it sounds good. And so, like I said, this movie is first called The Matrix, and then The Matrix Reloaded, and then The Matrix Revolution, and then The Matrix Resurrection. And so in the Word, those of us that study, we know that the enemy going to come, or the Antichrist, is going to call and come and represent himself as Christ. And so, of course, he's going to have to die and come back. So he's going to have to be resurrected. But nevertheless, it's interesting, again, to me, how the world system uses a lot of the laws and the precepts and the principles of the word. And those of us, again, that study, we see that when you recognize that you have to take pause and understand, they must have some belief in this book in order for them to be trying to imitate it or emulate it. And why is that? Again, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But nevertheless, the movie is based on a world that has a set rules, a set way of rules and algorithms that determine how things work. It's designed to keep the minds of the human race under control so that the powers that be can do whatever is necessary. And it's done by distraction from reality and then the exploit. So how is that very similar? That's extremely similar to this system. It makes us believe, oh, to be a cool artist, to be a cool performer, to be a cool doctor, you got to do these things. And so we try to emulate. Even I got caught up because I know God called me to be a teacher, but it didn't have enough pull. And so I wanted to be an executress. I wanted to have the office. And I don't know if many of you guys watch a lot of movies, but me and my family, we watch a lot of movies. And so Boomerang came out with Eddie Murphy and they had that whole market. That was my thing. I wanted to be Halle Berry at the end, how she just transformed herself and she was the boss. And she was handling her business, as she said. That was the coolest thing to me. And so that's what I wanted to emulate. And so I think you can get caught up trying to do something and you're getting further away from the things of God. And amen. You know, there's consequences for not being obedient to the things of God. But nevertheless, God left me, His grace led me back to get into where I was supposed to be. But it was several years later. So I think about now, had I been obedient to His way, His will, where would I really be now? But nevertheless, can't go backwards, but nevertheless, moving forward. But again, it's done through distraction. So I got all those things in my head. Now, I knew the word, but I didn't really believe the word like I should have. I believed more into the things that was presented to me more than I did the things of God. And so because of being distracted and other things being exploited, it made me believe, made me pursue things that were not what God's design was for me. And so when I finally had to be focused, I had to really study because at that point I had tumors behind my eyes. And so I lost part of my vision. And so in one eye, I completely lost my vision. But nevertheless, I had to study and I had to really wake up and see the things of God. And when I studied, I was grateful. Because God knew my heart and He knew that I wanted to be connected to Him. He led me through the right training. And so one of the particular books, that, amen, I get my living and my breathing, everything, amen, that has motivated me and thrusted me to move forward was through the Master Life series. And then, of course, God coupled it with the right mentor and then deliverance and necessarily. But one of the coolest things that came out of that whole process was that I had to understand that through Christ, I lived and I was awakened. And so one of the coolest scriptures that I learned through that was that my flesh was crucified with Christ so that I could live. And so if we don't understand it, and we're going to get to those scriptures in a moment, but if we don't get to that and understand that, then, amen, we'll be constantly connected to this system, to this matrix, where we'll constantly be controlled under the minds of others, under the system that we have to do these things, that we're not being obedient to the things of God. And so one of the things that I think probably has to be the best way that we start this month off when we're talking about the adversary is to make sure that we're on the right foundation. I know that many of us know the story about building the house on the sand and when the winds came and it blew it, but I'm going to read that scripture in a minute too. But nevertheless, that's kind of how where we are. We're seeing things, and so we're building our dreams. We're building our hopes on things that are not, don't have a solid foundation. And so first and foremost, we have to understand who is really controlling this system. And so I love the book of Ephesians. And so the second chapter, the title in my reading, it says, made alive in Christ. Amen. And so it reads, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Saints, we've been disobedient, nevertheless. All of us who also lived among the men at one time, gratifying and cravings for our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of the great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness in us, in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. That's chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 10. There's a whole lot in that reading, but nevertheless, what I really want you to understand, because of God's great love for us, and his mercy, when we were dead in our transgressions, we were dead living, trying to live to this world system. Those of us that have given our lives to Christ, we have to make a decision. Do we want to live in the riches of this world system, or do we want to have kingdom riches? When I really understood that I was a king's kid, I'm talking about the heavenly king kid, what could anything or anyone do to me? This body is temporary. So it can, be beat up because I beat it up. I have to deal with the consequences of my actions. Didn't eat right, didn't sleep right, didn't do the things that I needed to do. And so sometimes those things, amen, have to pay the cost. And so it doesn't change the fact that I have a responsibility to do what God has called me to do, because it is a gift. God gave me a gift, and because he gave me a gift, amen, I'm going to do what he called me to do with it. And so I want to do what Jesus told me, what Jesus outlined for us to do, so that when I stand before God, he'll say, good and faithful servant. I don't want to allow this gift to go to waste, and so you can't allow it to go to waste. But how do we do that when we live in this system? We're not of this system, but we live in this system. And so I love Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the one who not walk in step with the wicked. We can't get involved. We have to distance ourselves from those things that are not of God. We know what's wicked and what isn't, but we do it anyway. Why? Because the matrix is calling, our flesh is calling to that. Why? Because many of us think this feels good. I really had to think about it, why people like to get high and people get drunk and out of their minds. Why do we do that? Why do we think that's fun? Because our flesh tells us that it's fun. But is it fun that we can't drive, we can't function, we can't answer questions properly? We can't really, have you noticed, even when you have surgery, they tell you you can't make any major decisions, because you're not of yourself. Well, our flesh likes being that way. You have to ask yourself why. Because the world system, the matrix, tells you that this is cool, this is fun. So you got to be careful, because it says that we should not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. You see, step with the walking, now we're standing. Walking, you're moving. Now we stop, because now we're standing with them. Amen. And then it says, or sit in the company of mockers. Now we didn't take in the seat. Amen. We comfortable. We have to wake up, saints. We have to wake up because our delight has to be in the law of the Lord who meditates day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's why I am so bent on my scripture being John 15:5, because I want to bear fruit that remains. I want to be like a tree planted. And so if my tree is planted by the streams of water that yields fruit, if my leaves won't wither, that means that my fruit, amen, is going to produce, that it's going to continue to do what it's called to do. So should I be laying down because my body feels a little weak, whatever, as long as I can put a phone in my hand and have access to my favorite Google, amen, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. I'm going to do the things that God calls me to do. Why? Because eventually I'm going to prosper. Eventually that the things that the enemy or the things that this system tells me that I have to be connected to, no, they said I had cancer. Yeah. But I don't know. Amen. They said I had a heart attack, but my heart don't have no scar tissue. They said I had a stroke, and they said I shouldn't be walking. I shouldn't be able to move. The whole left side of my body should be shut down. But I'm still moving. I'm still thinking. I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do. And even recently when they said the left side of your brain has no blood, no oxygen. And I'm like, how is that so? Because according to my friend Google, it says that my brain is dying. So I'm not supposed to be able to do anything. And so they're confused again. But I remember they said the same thing when they said I had tumors behind my eyes and that my eye would never go back into the socket when my eye was sitting on my cheek, sitting, resting on my cheek. It was out of the socket, literally out of the socket, not out of the socket anymore. And they said it wasn't humanly possible for it to go back because there was no surgery they could do to put it back into the socket. But it's back. So if God did that for me before, you don't think he could do it again? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I have to keep doing what God's called me to do so that I'm not caught up walking, sitting, standing with the wicked. No, that is not my assignment. That's not your assignment. We cannot keep being distracted by this world system. We have to do the thing that God has called us to do. We have to remember that our flesh is crucified with Christ. It is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Now we stand firm. We stand again. But we ain't standing with the mockers. We're standing firm and not letting ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. This system, the matrix, is a yoke of slavery because it makes our flesh king. Well, that is not what God designed. And I'm getting this from Galatians 5, verse 2 says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you to let yourself be circumcised. Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, he is not obligated to obey the whole law. Those of you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ and you have fallen away from grace. For though the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ, neither circumcised or uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts resting itself through love. So it doesn't matter whether you come to him this way or that way. I think sometimes we get so caught up that, you know, I got to do all this stuff and get all of this out of my system. Then I'll give my life to Christ. Give your life to Christ anyway and let him help you get through this because we can't really do nothing of ourselves anyway. We have to yield to him. We have to live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. If you skip down to verse 13 of chapter 5 in Galatians, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, who are called to be free, saints, we're called to be free. We're not called to be connected to this world system. We're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll just read the verse of the 15. It says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This flesh desires is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. And then it talks about, you know, all the things that the world system has for you. But you get to 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have been crucified. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step, conceited, provoking, and envying one another. All of those are traits of the world system. To envy our neighbor. They got a big house, so you got to have a big house. It's so funny when I walk through, my daughter goes to school in a really, really nice neighborhood in Atlanta called Buckhead, for those of you that know. And so we're going through all of these really beautiful homes, and my daughter said, Mommy, how come our house don't look like this? Does that mean we're brokeish? And I laughed because, you know, she was trying to play off the movie on the TV show Blackish, but nevertheless, I tell her, you know, amen. This is not our assignment. Amen. But we can't envy these people because they live in these nice, beautiful homes on the outside, because behind the walls, we don't know how they're living. Amen. We're free and free indeed. We are not living like these people, nevertheless. But do we really want to? Because we don't know what's going on in their houses. And so sometimes we got to remember that, what is it saying, humble beginnings. But nevertheless, even in that, whether I lived in a shack or whether I lived in a mansion, I got to have King Jesus with me, praise God, because he is my father. I am a daughter of a king, and so I could have the riches here, but my flesh may cause me to live in a different way that it's not pleasing to God. And I have to believe, just because, praise God, if I get a big size chunk of money, I give it away. So I'm not even disciplined with a little bit. So what would I do if I had a big, I mean, I probably would figure it out nevertheless, but nevertheless, I want to live, do what I have to do, and be where I have to be in order to keep my eyes from being caught up, being conceited, being envious. I don't want to provoke anybody to do anything that's wrong or out of step or out of sync with what God would have for them, just for me to be able to continue to live like some of the people that I think the world system has made me believe that they are successful. I mean, I know many people with a lot of money can't get the blessings that, praise God, God has blessed me with. No money. And praise God, I don't owe any money from having cancer. Do you know how expensive that is? I had a robot to surgically remove the tumor from my stomach. Never cut my stomach, went behind my stomach and cut a robot. Do you know how expensive that was? Didn't pay a dime. Why? Because of God. He fixed it. He lined all them steps months before I even knew I had cancer to allow me to have a cancer rider that I didn't even know I had. But God did. Why? Because I don't try to live into this world system. I get caught up at times, because I'm not going to say I'm perfect, because I'm not. But my heart and my mind is not set on living in the matrix. My heart is set on living for the things of God. I know I laugh because I met a really cool white guy. I know who he is, but I was reacquainted with him this weekend. With today is my grandmother's birthday. Praise God, she turned 97 today. And so we had a very, very prominent man that's very, very respected community. He walked with Martin Luther King. He came by our house to tell her happy birthday. And so, you know, he was talking to us, and he was sharing how, you know, we take so many things for granted. We take so many things for granted. And so we got to be mindful. We got to be mindful. When we're walking in the company of people that, you know, have prestige and power, I mean, I do too. because I'm a king's kid. And so whatever I need, God's going to give it to me when I need it. And so I can't get caught up because he's successful and he got to work with the man with the plan. Amen. I live with the man with the plan. He lives in me. Amen. And so we got to stop looking at other things. And we need to put our mind and our hearts back on the things of God and see God for what God has called us to. And so the only way that we can do that is by recognizing who is behind the confusion and the madness and is the father of the matrix. It already said in one of the scriptures that we read that he is the king, he is the prince of the air. Why? Because he stole it. He stole it. And so do we really want to be caught up following his system, his plan that is designed for us to fail? Yes. It feels good. It tastes good because our flesh wants what it wants. But I guarantee you there's a consequence coming because that is not the way that God has designed for us to live. He wants us to do the things that he's given all of us gifts, given all of us talents, to use them according to whatever the plan and purpose it was for him to bring you here. And that's what we have to focus on, what is most important. And that's why I'm so grateful that God blessed me to be around the right people that led me back to the path that I was supposed to be on. My purpose is to teach. I'm grateful for that. Teach anything because that is my gift and I'm grateful for it. But he allows me to do so many other things, praise God, because I know how to use it when he gives it to me and I don't take advantage that I own anything. The spirit wills as it wills. And so I am grateful and I can yield to it. I'll yield my body. Hurting, what I yield to him. Why? Because I want to please him, the one that created me, the one that gives me life, the one that gave himself to me as a gift. I don't want to take that for granted. I want to make sure that I'm operating the way that he designed for me to operate. And so those of us, like the word says, those of us who hear the word of God and put them into practice is a wise man. I want to be wise. I want to build my foundation on him, the rock. Absolutely. And so sometimes the winds are going to blow and they're going to beat up on me. Amen. But because I'm standing on the rock, amen, I'm not going to fall. Why? Because my foundation is solid because it's on the rock. Where is your foundation? Is your foundation solid on the rock? Or are you on the sand? And when the winds and the earth and the things shift, you crumble. Why? Because the world system tells you that this is what you should do, and you do it, and you won't consult God first? No, that's not my assignment. My assignment is to teach you how to go to God. And I've used these steps before, but I can't help it because it is the source of my being. One, gotta know who God is. You got to. And if you don't know, all you gotta do, praise God, like I said, Google is my friend. Google don't be right all the time. But I ask God to lead me to the right places to go so that it can give me the right information when I need. So if you need to know about God, I mean, your Bible absolutely is first. But praise God, you can pull up the Bible on Google. Amen. I still like to go through the pages sometimes and hear my pages go up, but nevertheless, you got to know who God is, number one. Number two, you got to know what you mean to him and why he created you. You are a king's kid. Big, fat, short, skinny, ugly, tall, whatever the world system does, the label you as, amen. You are a king's kid and you're made in his image. So, amen. God is short. Amen. I'm just saying, come on, saints. We got to get out of this, yes, Cover Girl and Essence and all these magazines that tells you what is beauty. Are you kidding me? And you get caught up and distracted. I tell my daughters often, and I'm so grateful that my dad, he was interesting, to say the least. But I remember Noxzema commercial came on, and I was like, Dad, we got to get some Noxzema. And he's like, why? And he's like, well, what's wrong with that wash rag and some soap? And I'm like, but they said, do you know what's in that stuff? Do you know if that's going to break you out? Do you know if you're going to have problems in the future? Don't believe everything you see. And so praise God. I didn't get caught up putting everything that everybody said on my face. And people now say that I have clear skin. I don't know. But I didn't put a lot of junk on my face trying to make myself look like something that somebody else told me. And so I have to remind my daughters, just because they say that you got blemishes and all that kind of stuff, if you clean your face, you don't have them kind of problems. But many of us, you know, we try all these things. Anyway, you got to know who you are in God. Amen. God, amen, know who he is and why he's awesome and amazing. To know that you're connected to him and why he made you in his image, that he loves you and he cares for you. Three, you got to know why he made you. What is your purpose? What is the purpose for you being here? All of us have a purpose. It may be a trash man, but because you are a trash man, you're able to reach the people in that community that wouldn't normally probably get to the things of God. He places all of us with our gifts and talents for a reason. Find out what that reason is and operate in that. That is your purpose. That is your assignment to be wherever God has called you to be in whatever environment that he's called you in. That is your purpose, and he's given you gifts and talents to be able to get there. Know who God is. Know what you mean to him by being made in his image. Amen. Know your purpose. And then, four, know that you are destined to win whatever it is. You are destined to win. Do you think that, praise God, when these people tell me that my body is the age of a 90-year-old person, can you believe? Me and my grandmother take the same medicine. She's 97. And so some of the stuff they offered me, I'm like, if God don't tell me to take that, I'm not taking that. Because, praise God, if I start taking that now and she's taking that 97, I do plan to live a little. I want to at least get to my 90s, praise God. I got 40-something years to go, and I'm taking the medicine she's taking now. What am I be taking if, praise God, you know, this thorn is still here? Amen. Amen. No. I go to the King because he made me, and he tells me what to take, and that's what I take. Nevertheless, I got to know that I'm destined to win. You got to know you're destined to win. He's giving you gifts and talents and blessings and all the things that you need. You are equipped through him, but you got to be in the word. You got to know him. You got to know your purpose. And then, praise God, you'll know you're destined to win. And last but not least, he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. If he'll never leave you nor forsake you, why do you trip? Why do we get caught up? It's so funny to me now when, you know, situations come and people call or, you know, doctors say stupid stuff. Or the people say that, you know, you got to pay this bill today or we're going to do this. And like, okay, Lord. You said you never leave me nor forsake me, so amen. Do what you do. Help me to be obedient and hear you so I can be responsible. And then, praise God, he lets me know, and I do what I need to do. And praise God, I'm on top again. Why? Because I gave it to him. I'm not running to the system and asking the system, because the system will fail you. It will make you believe things that is not necessary, so... And then you're stuck. But that's the way the system works. And that's why we have to detach from the matrix. We have to unplug. Like the people had to be unplugged. And the only way that they could be free, to hear the word or hear the information of why they need to be disconnected, they had to take a pill or they had to go through a sewer system to get out. That was their conventional path to be mentally free from the prison. For us, all we have to do is yield to God, ask him to forgive us for our sins and to allow him to really reign into our lives and to make us one with him, and then pray that your ears and your eyes and your heart be open, read his word, pray, talk to him. Amen. You'll be disconnected from the system. We'll still be in it because we have to live. But we won't be part of this system. We'll be disconnected. And then we'll be free from the snares that the enemy has from us. We still have to go through trials and tribulations from time to time. But the Bible says to count it all joy, because it does make you better. And it gives you a testimony to share with other people. And so I pray that you have been blessed by understanding why it's important for you to disconnect from the matrix, this world system, to be connected with him, to give your life to him and live a life that's pleasing to him. then the enemy has no bounds and no bearings on you. You can see him and say, huh, and keep it moving. You know that somebody greater is living in you. The Bible says, greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. You got to invite him into your heart. You got to live by the principles that he designed and that he outlined for us. Amen. Well, this is Leah Killings and Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing for you and that you remember to always, always, always give him your heart and that you listen to him intently and do what he calls you to do. And then more importantly, you have to remember that every praise belongs to him. Praise him through everything. And that's why this is an awesome song that I close the broadcast with. Every praise belongs to him. I play it because it's my granny's favorite song, and today's her birthday, so happy birthday, Granny. I always close the broadcast out with her song, Every Praise Belongs to Him, because it does. And then you got to remember those five steps. Know who God is. Know who you are in him. Know your purpose. Know that you're destined to win, and then know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And praise God, you'll be on your way to being disconnected from your system, allowing your flesh to line up with the things of God and not of the enemy. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And make sure you remember to start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Tune in next week. Be blessed. Let me hear the worshipers.